Time to feel the rush of the round table. Brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Are you really an independent contractor? Find out in seconds for free at PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.
It's a Globe and Mail 2 for today. Brian and Jay, welcome in. Queen's Park reporter for the Globe and Mail, Laura Stone, and Ottawa Bureau political reporter for the Globe and Mail, Marika Walsh. Hello.
Yeah, hello.
One guy.
Now, let me ask. This is interesting because I've known both of you for quite some time. Do you guys know each other?
Oh, definitely.
Yes.
Okay. We're good friends.
All right. I don't know what happens.
Do we know each other?
We used to work at Global together in Ottawa so many moons ago.
Okay. Fair enough. Don't everybody come at me.
We're friends first, colleagues second.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. All right. Let's see if you're big fans of the CNE, given the fact you've already mentioned that you worked in Ottawa for a while. Maybe the CNE doesn't mean anything to you. But the mayor today was talking about a new way of looking at the CNE now that it will no longer be around in 2020. This, the latest victim of COVID-19 when it comes to events. Here's what he had to say.
I believe it is time for us to have a historic discussion about the 21st Century X. What is the 21st Century X? How can we better reflect the roots of the fair, if you go all the way back all those years, as a place to truly showcase the talents and creativity and innovation of our entire nation each and every year, and do it in a way that is family-friendly and fun? I would like to see us reimagine a CNE, which will keep its strong base of supporters here at home, but will also evolve to an attraction which will bring visitors from across North America and around the world.
Marika, let's start with you on this one. When you talk about a new CNE, we talked earlier in the show, it's become dated. It's not something that I was ever looking forward to in the calendar year outside of the food stuff that Jay and I used to do, which was fantastic. It was a lot of fun. But some of it got stale, and I think the mayor's on the right track here.
Okay, so this is where I admit that my failure as a Torontonian stems from the fact that even though I grew up here, I've never been to the CNE.
Wow, not once.
I know. I lived in Toronto until I was 18, and my family always took us camping the last 2 weeks of August, so we just never went. So I can only just say that wherever there's food, I want to go. I just have not yet gone.
No, but I think that's interesting because you're younger than I am. You're younger than Jay is. You know, that might be indicative of something that's going on with this thing.
Definitely has never really been top of my list. You know, last year when I lived in Toronto again, or as an adult going back to Toronto, I think it really does seem to be one of these nostalgia things of Toronto. But maybe that's just because I never went, so I don't know what I'm missing out on.
Maybe. Laura, let's hear from you on this.
Well, I'm not against the idea of reimagining, but I do think part of the appeal is that it does have this retro vibe, and I'm not convinced that this is going to be a national attraction, that people are going to come to Toronto for the X per se. I mean, it's sort of something that I think back in the heyday, this was a big Toronto event, but now most cities have this, and there's just bigger, better amusement parks everywhere. So I sort of enjoy the kind of the dated retro vibe of it, but I guess I would have to see the numbers. If they're falling and they're losing people, maybe they do need to revamp it a bit and make it a bit more current. But I wouldn't want to see it change completely or try to be something it's not, because I think there is something to the kind of the history of it now that is appealing.
One of the things that we definitely do know is the amount of lost revenue, over $75 million for the city of Toronto, over $129 million for the province of Ontario. You couple that with the hundreds of millions of dollars we pull in from Pride, the millions of dollars that we pull in from Carabana. We're racking up an incredibly large deficit, but we're not really putting any money back. So that's a little bit scary when you put all those together, I think.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And I mean, you can hear it in the mayor's voice. It's not with any glee or any relish that he talks about the idea of canceling any of these things. It's more out of necessity and out of an abundance of caution. Well, you know, Canada's National Exhibition may be a part of our history. Bryan Adams' career may be history. The Canadian singer-songwriter today apologizing for an Instagram post that was condemned as crass, as racist, as inflammatory. He went after China's wet markets where exotic animals are served up as delicacies. He's a vegan. vegan, and he used his platform to tee off, and a lot of people said, well, that's too much, you're going too far, saying, you know, my gig at Royal Albert Hall has been canceled because of all of this, we're all stuck indoors. Today he says, no excuse, I just wanted to have a rant about the horrible animal cruelty in these wet markets being the possible source of the virus, and promote veganism. He says, I've got love for all people, and my thoughts are with everyone dealing with this pandemic around the world. You know, Robin, I look at it and I think, okay, did you really need it to say it the way you did?
No, he did. I mean, I think that's the problem. I think that, you know, if you are reading the articles that we are seeing around increases in race-related hate crimes or violence, you would, I think, be a lot more cautious about how you talk about this virus and the impact that it can have on real people walking around down the street from your house. You know, this is not something that is a far off concept. This is something that we're seeing happening in Vancouver, for example, in Toronto, for example. And from a celebrity, those words have a real impact.
So, Marika, then let me ask you the follow up question on it. Is it something where you look at it and you think this guy's career may be done?
I wouldn't go that far. I think that we see celebrities come back from a lot of things. You know, I can't say that I really had a good sense of how well his career was going at this stage in his career. I certainly wasn't on his bandwagon. I think that we've seen time and time again that celebrities can have comebacks, so I wouldn't say that it's done. But, you know, if you want to engage in discussions around these things, and there are some valid questions, you know, if you were talking about cruelty around animals, then focus it on that. Don't connect it to other things that have a big impact on people's lives.
Yeah, Ryan, his audience isn't shrinking. It's the venues that are becoming more intimate.
Well, Laura, this is interesting because
they will be in the COVID-19 concert. In the COVID-19 concerts, with 20 people on them.
In our production meeting, though, somebody said, well, he's a B-list celebrity. And I thought, you know, you look at him and he was part of that big concert, you know, Canada Together and the whole bit. He's got a little bit of a eccentric look to him now. He doesn't seem like the kind of cool 1980s rocker that he once was.
Yeah, I mean, Bryan Adams to me is wedding music, right? And he's
everything I do,
bad Canadian.
I do it for you.
I don't feel that anyone, certainly no one, was seeking out Bryan Adams' opinion of coronavirus and how it all began, and was looking for him to weigh in. I don't think that's what anyone wanted or expected from him, but I don't know. I'm sure. I mean, I don't know how big his live crowds are now. If he's making new albums, how many people are buying them? But to me, it's a guy who's, yeah, he'll play, his music will play in an elevator and at a wedding still. But I don't think he's exactly Okura. Oh, is that hurt? Yes, there's some big Bryan Adams fans here. I thought they had.
You've heard a lot of feelings.
I'm confused.
Jay?
You know what? I think Bryan Adams is a guy that can play the hits, and he can pack houses around the world. I don't think he's necessarily doing stadium shows. He's not canceling a tour like the Foo Fighters did. But what I found interesting today was, and I went back and I listened to this, what I read from Bryan Adams sounded very similar to something I had heard from Paul McCartney. And I went back and listened to his interview with Howard Stern, and he essentially said the exact same thing about China and about wet markets, but he did it in a lot more classy fashion. Paul McCartney, coincidentally, also a vegan. So more than likely, I think this is just, you know, sort of vegan rhetoric, if you will. For some.
Vegan rhetoric. I like that. I didn't even know that was a thing. All right, let's talk a little bit about the Prime Minister today. We had the Minister for Seniors, responsible for seniors, on the show between 5:20 and 5:30. Not sure she's coming back on the show after talking to her today. But here's what she was talking about, the Prime Minister's announcement to give seniors $300. Listen to this.
First, if you're receiving old age security, you will get an additional $300 to offset some of the extra costs you've had to cover because of the virus. This means that across the country, almost 7 million seniors will get help that they need. And to better support the most vulnerable seniors, we will also give an extra $200 to people who are eligible for the Guaranteed Income Supplement. So if you're receiving both OAS and GIS, you will get an additional $500 in total to help you.
You know, Marika, I hear it, and the minister didn't agree with me. She said, you know, we didn't have a crystal ball and know what this looked like. Yeah, you did. You knew what the trend line said. You knew how seniors were going to probably have to stay home more than most of us would. There's a lot of fear out there. People over 65 aren't all living off the, you know, the riches of retirement savings. Some of them really struggle, and some don't really qualify or didn't qualify for the original announcement they made back in April.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there are a lot of questions around how much money they're rolling out and the fact that this is a one-off. This isn't consistent until something changes. You know, with other programs, we've seen that they've given it a few months to have this extra money, not just this one-off that makes it more difficult to plan. But I'm not sure that people actually did have a good grasp in mid-March how bad this would be. I certainly did not think I would still be working from home and not seeing my family 9 weeks later. But I do, obviously, there has been, I think, a system-wide failing towards seniors in this. And I think part of it comes from the fact that they do not have as loud advocates, and so they get less attention.
Yeah, Laura, it's interesting because, you know, I'm somebody who looks at people in this situation. I don't think they have a voice. If the government's now getting around to giving them $300 to $500 in May, I kind of knew that this was going to be a thing for at least people over the age of 65, probably well into the summer.
Yeah, this does strike me as an afterthought. And someone in the prime minister's office or in the government, all of a sudden a light bulb goes off and says, oh,
I think we had a little technical glitch there.
You probably do something about this. I have heard from people who've emailed me and said, talked about the increased cost of their prescriptions, for instance, and how much more they have to pay because they have to pay more for monthly fees, for instance. And I think just the kind of the general theme of isolation for older people is just, it's really heartbreaking. And to think, you know, some of these people may be really confused about what's going on, isolated, alone, and really need help. And I think we as a country need to do better to proactively reach out and help these people and volunteer our time and contribute. So I hope that there is kind of an outreach more from people who are at home now who can do more volunteering in the community and help seniors out who are stuck at home.
Yeah, very well said. We appreciate it. We're going to have to end it there. Thank you so much, Laura, Marika. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks so much.
Thank you.
This News Talk 1010 podcast was brought to you by PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca. Wrongfully dismissed? Changes made to your job? Lowballed on severance? Find out if you have a case before you call a lawyer. Go to PocketEmploymentLawyer.ca.